Amen. Anne is going to come and read to us from Psalm 25. This is the passage that David's going to be speaking about in a moment, and it's on page 436 in the Pew Bibles.
It's page 436, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall we stand for our gospel reading? This is from Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, we pray, Father, come to us in grace and mercy. Make yourself known among us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may be conformed and formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you sit down, please? One of the things that I have found really a bit disturbing, I suppose, but also quite reassuring, is the fact that the Psalms, the church's prayer book, if you like, are full of Psalms of lament. I don't know if that's ever occurred to you, that actually there's a lot that's morbid and a bit maudlin about many of the Psalms. We sing the ones that cheer us up. But actually, there are others that do call on us to face what I suppose what we call a reality check, something like that, a big reality check. Corporate psalms of lament, the whole church having to repent before God, the people of Israel having to do so, and individual psalms, David lamenting before God, his song, his cry of anguish and of repentance. So there are big psalms that belong to the church, and there are little psalms that belong to all of us individually. The psalmist regularly leads either the people of God himself in praying something like this. This is a kind of paraphrase of many of those psalms of lament, but it goes something like this. Do you know, God, I'm in anguish. Do you know what? I'm in trouble. Do you know what? I'm in pain. Do you know what? I'm in real distress. And so, to our relief, let alone the psalmist has no hesitation whatsoever in voicing for all of us, really, and giving us permission to voice before God that ragbag of emotion that Psalms of Lament present us with. In fact, there are 65 Psalms of Lament, and I think this is really quite amazing because it helps us to see that the Psalms of Lament are not just for those special times of personal deep pain that happen now and again, or suffering in our lives. Rather, can I paraphrase this again? You're going to get paraphrase after paraphrase of this Psalm 25? It goes something like this. Do you know what, God? All of life is a pain. Cheer up. All of life is a pain. There is always something painful in our lives, whether it's relational pain or spiritual pain or physical or, I don't know, emotional pain, psychological pain. There's always some pain lurking somewhere. There's always pain about, lurking in hurt and hurtful lives. And the good news, you want some good news after that, really. But the good news is that the psalmist gets that. The psalmist gets how you are feeling. The psalmist gets at how I am. The psalmists get a range of other emotions too, of course they do, but 65 Psalms of Lament is not an insignificant number, and we'd better pin back our ears and hear what's going on in them. The sheer volume tells us something about the journey, doesn't it? The sheer volume of them tells us something about the journey, your journey and mine, this body's journey, this church's journey, our personal journeys, the journey of God's people Israel, your personal, particular journey that has started this week in this place among people who have already acknowledged together, or will be, and will continue to do so, our sinfulness before God, our Father. Maybe, too, the pain of this neighborhood. Is God merely or only concerned about the anguish of his church? Or does he have a heart that beats with the anguish of Locks Heath? I think Scripture tells me so. I think it tells me so, and the Psalms certainly do. You see, you don't have to scratch too far beneath the surface of conversations, do you? Before you find yourself scratching a sore, perhaps scratching a wound, a sadness, a disappointment, a personal hurt, a family hurt maybe. But it doesn't take much if you have your wits about you, your God-given, spirit-filled wits about you, before you can recognize that something is going on that's deep and painful and hurting. And the glory of the Psalms is that they are a relief to all that experience. They voice what is unsaid in here and voice what is unsaid out there as well. They scratch where we itch, and they are written here in this book, not just for our comfort. They're not written so that we can, you know, just acknowledge that God is a God who has some kind of sympathy with us, but they're written for our healing. For the more open and transparent we are before God, I believe the deeper the healing will be. So it's completely appropriate that Gavin, as he's already said in the introduction, has given us a Lenten steer to dig down below the surface of things, to immerse ourselves in a holy and human reality check over these 5 weeks of Lent, kicking off this week by peering into Psalm 25. There are others that are coming up as well throughout Lent, Psalms 22 and 12 and Psalm 51. And just in case you think this is all going to be maudlin and misery, well, it is. And I have to kind of assure you that it is. You see, you really can't bypass. You can't bypass the anguish of Lent thinking that on the horizon, there is Easter Day steamrolling towards us, and we can just kind of sit on what we feel and what we experience this morning. And we shouldn't be at all surprised that the journey might just be rough or awkward or disarming. I love being at St. John's because, to be honest with you, I think I've never come across in my life so many people who are more honest and open and who disarm me with their honesty and openness. And I love it because it encourages me to do the same and be the same as well. Life is tough. Or maybe if we're surprised at any of that, then it just may be that we've not really, I don't know, plumbed the depths of the journey. These are a few weeks to go yet before Easter Day, so let's not jump the gun in our desire to bypass the sadness and the misery before you. I'm sorry, I can't do any better than that this morning, really. That's how it's going to be for me anyway this morning. And as I was preparing it, I was beginning to understand what this purpose of these Psalms of Lament really was. Maybe, dare I say, we've been either too polite before God, just too polite, afraid of offending him, or, ouch, we've just been too dishonest, too polite, because coming before the Father is, for some of us, not unlike being called to the headmaster's study, with all the consequences of that summons, put on a brave face, or worse still, manning up. Do you know, I loathe that phrase, manning up, and you can speak to me afterwards in a dark room all about it. Or we've just been too dishonest because we've assumed a posture, a personality, a morality before God, which just doesn't chime, doesn't ring with the way things really are inside us. Psalm 25 and other Psalms of Lament are a real corrective to that kind of false assumption about ourselves. And the false assumption that God really may not be interested, after all, in how I really feel. Yet read again or listen to the depths to which the psalmist in this first reading, Psalm 25, is diving. We can let Scripture just sort of, you know, pass by us, pass over us. While his intention is in verse 1 to lift up his heart and soul before the Lord, do you know what? Stuff gets in the way of that. Stuff gets in the way of that good intention, but it has to remain a deep-seated anchor of what we're really longing for and hoping for. And laudable and honourable as that is, as I said, stuff gets in the way, doesn't it? It does. What it does in my life, maybe you're an entirely different race, but in my life, stuff gets in the way and clogs up the arteries, and, you know, I die sometimes of, you know, that you know, you ought to be doing something. You ought to be this. You ought to be that. You ought to be putting on a show. You ought to be smiling when actually, perhaps deep down, you're actually hurting. And you're afraid of bringing that before God and certainly afraid of bringing that before somebody else. Personal stuff, church stuff, synagogue stuff for the people of Israel, temple stuff. People got in the way in Israel. Israel, God's people, got in the way of his perfect purpose and plan for them. So listen to the descriptive language of Psalm 25. Don't have to get it out, just listen. As he pours out his longings and his fears, his hopes and his anxieties before God the Father. Do not let me be put to shame. Shame the wantonly treacherous. Do not remember my transgressions. Pardon my guilt. I am lonely and afflicted. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my enemies and their violent hatred of me. Guard my life. Deliver me. How much more of that can we take on a Sunday morning as we've come to worship God? And so on. 64 other psalms in the same vein, more or less, if you don't like that. Are you beginning, I wonder, to get the hang of Psalms of Lament this morning? Actually, I'm not being masochistic about it, but I hope I've stirred up perhaps a bit of a longing for you to reread the Psalms of Lament. Speak to Gavin. He knows what they are after the service. But there are 64 others, if you don't find this one itching where you're scratching this morning. Some of the Psalms will be delving into are familiar, others not so. But what all of them are asking and encouraging of us is just a level of transparency. No airs, no graces, no play-acting before God, no mask-wearing, no mask-wearing. That kind of reality maybe we've never encountered in ourselves. For Lent, properly understood, takes us down, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Takes us down. It takes us deep down in order to raise us up. It takes us on an inward journey in order that the startling countercultural topsy-turvy good news of Easter Day can break out, not only of the empty tomb, but break out of you, break out of me. I believe, somehow deeply within me, that I'm grateful that the Church of England has never in my lifetime, maybe in the lifetime of other ministerial colleagues here, used the 1662 prayer book, Service of Commination. I stumbled across it. Guard yourselves when you read it. Put on a pair of rose-tinted glasses. Let me read the opening sentence. Brethren, in the primitive church there was a godly discipline that at the beginning of Lent, such persons as stood convicted of notorious sin were put to open repentance and punished in this world, that their souls might be saved in the day of the Lord, and that others, admonished by their example, may be the more afraid to offend. Well, that takes the breath out of me, knocks the stuffing out of me, really. We don't do that. We ask you to search yourself on an inward journey, to really plummet the depths of how you are, how you really, really are. More transparency, less mask wearing. That's what this Psalm 25 is about, and other Psalms of Lament. But I want to let John Newton, the great slave trader and campaigner against the slave trade, in a sense sum up this psalm and other psalms of lament, because this is not all mortal, and of course it's not. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Of course we do. But not in the process of doing that do we bypass that reality check. Sir John Newton lingered for 4 days before his death in Christmas 1807, and he described himself, and I love this, packed and sealed and waiting for the post. Packed and sealed and waiting for the post. But as he died at the age of 82, he whispered to a friend, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. That I am a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Saviour." Christ is indeed a great Saviour, for he has died and is risen and is here by the presence and power of his Spirit. But we need to remember too that we are great sinners before God our Father, and in his love and his mercy, he rescues us, he rescues you. He rescues me in all our entirety, all that we are, everything we've done, he rescues. I wonder if you can believe that and take that away from this Psalm 25 this morning and other psalms throughout this Lenten series on the Psalms of Lament. To you, O Lord, I lift up my heart. To you, and no one else this morning. Let us pray. God our Father, come to us in grace and mercy and make us new, heal us, perhaps plummet the depths of us, Father, we pray, in the ways that we've never been able to do that, perhaps in years past, and make us new to the glory of your name and for the building of your kingdom, we ask. Amen.